Hey man, we'll just go ahead and turn it on. We have a lesson that Yah has just led me to deal with, and so I wanted to reveal it to you so that you can walk in understanding. There has been scholars, and when I say scholars, I'm referring to you know, preachers, you know, throughout history, that have said certain things concerning the physical appearance of our Savior, and I'm going to go to these passages whereby this information is, you know, these doctrines have, you know, they've come up with these doctrines, and then we're going to look at them. And then at the same time, we're going to move into areas of where Yah has revealed certain things in reference to, you know, to understanding this topic too. So in a nutshell, my question is, was the Savior actually someone who was unattractive? You know, was he someone who was unattractive? Does the scripture gives us this information, or give us some information to make that determination from the way that these scholars have taught, and there are certain things, and so we'll look at these things and we'll move forward. We'll start out in Isaiah 52, and then we will move into Isaiah 53, and then there are some things I'll show you online from Josephus' description. He was a historian that told things concerning, you know, things that happened in 70 AD when our nation fled from Jerusalem, based upon what Christ had told us in Matthew 24. And so from what I've heard, Josephus was an historian. And so we'll start out in Isaiah 52. I'll pray first, and then we'll move into it. Father Yah, we just bless you as always, and we honor you for just your wonderful presence. We thank you for all that you are in our lives, and we just give you the glory for revealing to us the truth. We just seek you in every way, and we thank you in the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. Isaiah 52. We'll start at verse 14. We'll start at verse 11. In verse 10. Isaiah 52, verse 10. Make sure your phone's on mute. Isaiah 52 verse 10 says, Yah hath made bare his holy arm in the eye of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Yah. So as we look at this, we understand Yah again has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations. So when you look at the word bare, it means to strip off, to make naked. This grace, okay, to drain away or to bell up, okay, discover, so to uncover. So when you look at these words here, it's in line with, you know, bear. So again, Yah has made his holy arm in the eyes of all nations. Yah has made bare his holy arm in the eye of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of Yah, of our Yah. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch not unclean. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yah. Verse 12 says, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for Yah will go before you, and the Yah of Israel will be your reward. Verse 13, behold, a servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Because this passage is revealing our Messiah. He's revealing Christ, okay? And so verse 13 says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Verse 14 is where I want to be now. And many were astonished at thee. Talking about Christ now. It's revealing to us Christ. His visage now was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Colon. What does the colon teach us? That you connect the verse. But we'll come back and we'll deal with that a little bit later, okay? So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him for that which had not been told them, shall they see, and that which they had not heard, all they consider. Okay. We'll come back to that. We'll move into the next chapter. Verse 53, Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, who hath believed our report? I'll go back. Now, when you look at verse 14 of Isaiah 52, verse 14, I went back. It says, and many were astonished at thee, his visage. Now, when you look at that, when you look at this visage, it says view, his appearance. So we know this visage is his appearance, okay?
What is astonishing?
Huh?
What is astonishing?
To stun. Okay. So we're looking at his physical appearance here, Isaiah 52. So because, you know, you're looking at his physical appearance in Isaiah 52, we know that this is how he looked. It's saying, and many were stunned at thee. His physical appearance, okay, was so marred more than any man. Okay. When we look at marred, it means disfigured, corruption, marred, okay? So as we look at this, you get scholars that will say this verse here, verse 14, shows that Christ was an ugly man. That his physical appearance, that he was an unattractive man. That's what's taught from this here. And then they go into 54 and they continue on. I'm sorry, 53, Isaiah 53, and they continue on. And we're going to come back to these. I'm just reading them as of now. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of Yah revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender branch, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. Now, when you look at it here, this is where they continue on with his physical appearance. He had no form. When you look at it, he has no beauty. So it's pointing out that Christ hath no beauty. Okay? Visage also, you see it, Isaiah 52, verse 14, visage, same thing. You're looking as far as his countenance, his physical appearance. So he has no form, he has no beauty, no comeliness. When you look at comeliness, it's magnificence, splendor, excellence, glory, goodly. And then it says, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty. There it is again. There is no beauty. There is no beauty that we should desire him. So as we see there, it says view and appearance. So it's saying, you know, again, there was no beauty, there was no comeliness, he had no beauty. Again, we're looking at all these different words that's describing Christ, okay? Verse 3 now says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Okay? Now, these verses that I just read to you is what preachers use to identify the physical appearance of Christ. They say he wasn't an attractive man. Again, the historian Josephus, we're going to go look at online and look at his quote concerning Christ. This is what Josephus said, as you see it in this writing here. That's kind of in bold print. And as you see, it says, I'll go up just a little bit. It says, our original Josephian testimony. This is his testimony of Christ. This is what he's saying Christ looked like. So Josephian testimony. And it just talking about this guy who actually wrote this, but this is a kind of like a translation from his original writings, okay? And that's why it says, by reconstructing the relevant passage, Eisler restored what he believed is the original first century description of the man Jesus, or Yahushua, Christ. His very significant restoration follows. It says, at this time also there appeared a certain man of magic power. He's describing Christ. If it be meet to call him a man whose name was Jesus, whom certain Greeks called a son of a god, but his disciples called a true prophet who was supposed to have raised dead persons and to have cured all diseases. Both his nature and his form were human. He's saying he looked like a human. For he was a man of simple appearance, mature age, black skin, but it says this word here, but that's what black skin means. Okay? Megalochroous, or really melanin. That's what I believe it. So that's where I believe the black skin comes from. Short growth, 3 cubits. This is about 4 feet something. Okay, 3 cubits tall. I think it's like 4'6" or something like that. So they're saying, Josephus is describing him. He's saying he's short, about three cubits tall. Hunchback. You know the hunchback of Notre Dame? Something to give you some kind of physical hunchback. Say he was hunchback. It says prognathous, literally with a long face. Okay, a long nose, eyebrows meeting above the nose. So he had it with a unibrow. Is that what they call it? Say he was like that. Okay, eyebrows meeting above the nose, that the spectators could take fright. So from them looking at his physical appearance, they would, he was scary to look at from what Josephus is describing. With scanty, curly hair, then you know his physical appearance, he was of our nation, so it's describing him. Then it says, but having a line in the middle of the head after the fashion of a Nazarene and an undeveloped beard. Okay, this is what Josephus described our Savior. Now, what we want to do is we want to put this to the test. Is Isaiah 52 verse 14 and Isaiah 53 verse 1 through 4, Josephus is the scriptures confirming what Josephus is saying? That's what we want to answer on today, okay? Now, in order to do this here, we have to go to the scriptures. Okay, we have to go to the scriptures. Now, let's move to Exodus chapter 12, because there are certain things that we have to understand in order to really confirm whether or not this is the truth. Okay. Now, all signs point to, as what Josephus said, and Isaiah 52 verse 14, Isaiah 53 verse 1 through 4, if these are all confirming, then Christ indeed was an ugly man. But let's put this to the test according to the scriptures now. In other words, you know how we do it. If you're gonna teach us something, you can't just tell us. Can't just say he was an ugly man and then grab a fruit of scriptures, because we rightly divide the word of truth, and we do it precept upon precept, line upon line. So we're going to let precept upon precept, line upon line, reveal to us whether this statement and this identification of Josephus is the truth. All right? Now, we're going to start out in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Exodus 12, verse 1 says, "And Yah spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an offering." A lamb for an house, I'm sorry. "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." In other words, you eat the lamb, but it has to be enough, not too much, not too little. You have to have the right amount for each house. Verse 5 is where I want to be. "Your lamb shall be without blemish." Okay, what is blemish now? "Your lamb shall be without blemish." Tamayim. Entire. It says morally, without blemish. It's complete, full, perfect, without spot, undefiled. So this lamb could have no defects. So that's what without blemish means. Couldn't have no defects whatsoever. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. And the whole congregation and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house, of the houses, wherein they shall eat it." Remember this now. They shall kill it. They shall take the blood and strike it on two sides of the posts. What blood did they take? Of the lamb that was without blemish, without defect. Okay. Verse 8. "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. His head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof." Okay, the intestines, I believe. with the pertinence thereof, the sinner, the inwards, okay? So it says the inwards, okay? Leave it in. Now, pertinence thereof, verse 9, and ye shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning, and that which remaineth of it unto the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. This is the time when our nation was getting ready to come out of Egypt. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The lamb without blemish, without defect. They would take the lamb, kill it, take the blood, sprinkle it up on the doorpost, the two sides of the post, verse 7. And Yah told our nation that it was the Passover. So the Passover had to be without blemish, and the blood of that Passover lamb would be sprinkled on the doorpost before our nation left Egypt. Okay? Remember that. Now, as we move through these scriptures again, we're going to move to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. We're going to find out who this great high priest is, according to the scripture. Now, before we talk about this great high priest, and or at least reveal who he is, I want you to keep the lamb, the Passover lamb, in mind. The Passover lamb was a lamb that was without spot or blemish. His blood would be taken and sprinkled over the two posts of every one of the nations of Israel's dwelling place, their home, getting them ready to come out of Egypt, and they had to eat the lamb. Now we're talking about the priest now, the high priest, okay? Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Yehoshua, Jesus, the Son of God, Yehoshua, the Son of Yah, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Remember this, feelings of our infirmities. Okay? But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now see this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 11 describes the lamb. The lamb had to be without defect, without blemish. The lamb, the blood would be taken and sprinkled on the doorpost. Okay? As a Passover. Scripture says it is Yah's Passover. So that's the Passover lamb. Then the scripture points out that Christ now, verse 14, is our high priest. Okay. Now, let's jump a little bit, not ahead. Let's just point out this fact. We know that Christ is also our Passover lamb. Remember, he's eating with his disciples. He says, take, eat. This is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood, which is shed for you. Remember that? Remember when we taught on it? So we know, according to the scripture, Christ is the Passover lamb. He died at Passover. He's also our high priest. So we have two identifications of Christ in the scripture. He is our high priest. He is also our Passover lamb. Okay, I didn't pull it up. Elder, help me. I'll just do it here. And you help me search it. Where Christ is dealing with, because we're just gonna look at it. I'll just type in, "This is my body." Because we just want to show it in scripture here. Matthew 26 and 26. Okay. Matthew 26 and 26. Now, I'll start at verse 24. Matthew 26, verse 24 says, "The Son of Man goeth, and it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." In other words, you're correct. And as they were eating, Yehoshua, Jesus, took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Okay. So as you look at this here, this is again showing that he is the Passover lamb. They're doing this during the time of Passover. Okay. And I'm going to see if they, verse 1, Matthew 26, verse 1 said, "It came to pass when Yehoshua had finished all these saying, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified, because he's the Passover lamb." Okay, that's why he tells them in verse 26, "Take of my body." So this is the Passover lamb. So we go back to Hebrews 4, remind you now, Hebrews 4. Verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." So again, Christ is the Passover lamb. He is also the high priest. It's Passover lamb, and he's the high priest. Now, we already have an understanding that the Passover lamb has to be without defects. Correct? Can't be no blemish on the Passover lamb. Okay, now, let's take a look at the order of the priest, because we just pointed out Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, that Christ indeed is our high priest. He's the great high priest that is passed into heaven. It names him. Yehoshua, the Son of Yah, is our high priest. He is the Passover lamb. We've already pointed out that the Passover lamb has to be without spot or blemish, without defect. Let's look and see the description of the high priest now. Leviticus 21. Leviticus 21, verse 16. "And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron." Aaron is the high priest of the nation of Israel during this time. Christ is the high priest now. Aaron was the high priest back then. Now, verse 16, "And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generation, and hath any blemish." Look at the word blemish. "Hath any blemish, stain, spot, blot." Has the same meaning, and I'll run it here. It doesn't have anything else. So as you look at it, it's the same meaning as when you look at over in the New Testament, as well as in other passages, even concerning the lamb. So we'll pull up Exodus 12 again, just to. Um, Exodus 12, verse 5. So when you look at the word Exodus 12, verse 5, it says, from 82, from 18, let me go back. It's from 8:5:52. That's what. From 8:5:52. It says to complete in a good or bad sense, literal. Be clean. And so I'm just giving you words to show you that wasted. I'm giving you just words to show you that what blemish is based upon these two passages, okay? And I'll just leave it up here just for the sake of conversation. We'll be to the right of the screen. We're looking at the description of Aaron and his seed. Speak unto Aaron, verse 17, right of the screen, Leviticus 21. Speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generation that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. So not only could the animal not have blemish, but the men who presented sacrifice to Yah couldn't have any blemish. Y'all hearing this? Now, it says, verse 18, for whosoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. Now he's going to describe them. A blind man or a lame, crippled man, or he that hath a flat nose, or any superfluous. I guess that means of anything, let's just not guess, but from my understanding, it means something that's maybe longer than, deformed by excess of members, many members, something that's deformed. So we'll look at these different words. He can't have blemish, okay? Physical blemish, you see it here. Spot, blemish. So it's saying if he's going to offer something before Yah, he can't have any physical issues. He can't be blind. It says literal. He can't be lame. You know, so we'll just click on it just for the sake of defining lame. It has the, it's pretty much the same meaning. I just want to break down these things just to show us. Here it says to hop, so skip over. So that's what lame means. So we're correct with the definition. It moved to the right of the screen now. So it's describing him. It says he can't be lame, hath a flat nose, this is a clue, physical, blunt nose, okay, make a curse. So you're looking at these different things. Okay, anything superfluous or stretched out. Let's continue on. A man that is broken footed, a fractured foot. Y'all say, your foot is fractured. Don't come before me at my altar, making no sacrifice before me. Or broken handed, or crook back, hunch back. So somebody lying. Why am I saying somebody not lying? Who is Christ? He is the Passover lamb. He's also the high priest. What the scripture says about those that is above of the priesthood, you can't be hunchback. You can't have any defects. Christ is the Passover lamb without spot or blemish. He is also the high priest that can't have a blemish to go before his Yah. What did he do? He presented himself as a sacrificial lamb. So he had to be without blemish on both ends, as the lamb and also as the priest. So when you go back, or when we go back and we read this concerning Josephus, he's lying. Because we understand what the scripture says, how a lamb has to be presented. And also how the high priest has to be. They can't have any physical defect. Specifically, the Bible says a high priest can't be hunchback or anybody that's of Aaron's household as the priest can't be hunchbacked. You can't come before me in service with some type of defect. So Josephus is lying. Okay? Now, as we continue to read here, it says, or crook back, okay, arch or contacted hunchback, a dwarf, what they say, he was 4 feet, what, six, three cubits, they lying, okay, small or thin, dwarf, okay, so when you look at this, they were saying he was basically smaller than your average man, they lying. Y'all said, don't no dwarves come before me to offer as a priest. That's a defect. That's a blemish. Okay? Or that hath a blemish. Okay? A blemish in the eye, cataracts, anything. That's what it's saying. It's blemish in the eye. Or be scurvy. Scabs. Some form of scratch from itching. Or scab, it says scab there, okay? Or hath his stone broken, his testicles, got a problem with his testicles. Y'all said, no, you can't come before me. Now, verse 21, as we see this, it says, no man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to offer the offering of Yah made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread unto his God, his Yah. So if this was a true description of Christ, he couldn't present himself. He couldn't be the high priest. He also couldn't be the sacrificial lamb. Okay? He goes on to say, he shall eat the bread of his Yah, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil. Christ did what? Through his death, the veil was rent, giving us access to Yah. He is the high priest that presented himself to Yah. He couldn't be with blemish. He had to be without blemish. Okay? Only he shall not go into the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuary. For I, Yah, do sanctify them. Yah said, I set the high priest aside, I set the lamb aside, and both of them have to be without spot or blemish. Now, with that understanding, we go back and we look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 52 first. And we further expose the lie. Isaiah 52, verse 14. I'm going to start at verse 13 because it's talking about Christ. It says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And many were astonished at him. Why? Why were they astonished at him? His visage, his physical appearance, we look at the definitions again. And many were astonished. Many were stunned when they looked at him. Why were they stunned when they looked at Christ? There's something that's going on. Okay? They were astonished at thee. His visage, his view, his physical appearance was marred, disfigured. In other words, there's something going on that caused him to be disfigured. Not that he was disfigured before it happened. In other words, you get scholars that say he was ugly already. No, this is describing something. We're going to let the scriptures interpret what it's doing. I mean, we're going to let the scripture interpret what it's describing. So his physical appearance, so it's letting us know his physical appearance was marred. It was disfigured. Okay? More than any man. Why was he disfigured more than any man? He's a sacrificial lamb. He was being crucified. Can we back up what Elder just said? Is it saying in Isaiah 52 verse 14 and Isaiah 53 verse 1 through 4 that he's being crucified, or is it just saying he's an ugly man? Let's see if Elder's telling the truth. Okay, we're going to put him to the test. Now, his physical appearance now is marred more than any man. Colon. What does the colon tell us? That in order to understand everything before, we have to continue to read. So since his physical was marred, it disfigured more than any man, what was taking place? So shall he sprinkle many nations. Why did he say that? What did he do with the lamb? Let's go back to Leviticus 4. Let's see what they do. Let's see what they did with the blood of the lamb, the blood of the sacrifice. Leviticus 4, verse 1 says, "And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of Yah concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto Yah for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yah, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before Yah. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 6. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before Yah, before the veil of the sanctuary." What did they do? They sprinkled the blood. What did they do when our nation was coming out of Egypt? They put the blood of the lamb on the pole. You're seeing everything revealing what Yah was going to do with Christ. So when you read verse 52 now, we'll click out of Leviticus 4. So when you read verse 52, it's starting to give a strong impression that Elder was telling the truth. But we still don't trust him yet. We want the scripture to confirm what he said. Okay, we putting him to the test. "And as many as were stunned," verse 14, as many were stunned at thee, his beauty was marred, disfigured, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations with his blood. Here, take, eat, this is my body, drink, this is my blood. The lamb, he is the lamb of Yah. Sacrificed for the sin of mankind. So he had to shed his blood. He was wounded. I almost got ahead, I got to slow down. "So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him." Everybody was walking by shaking their head when they saw him on the cross. "You said you was the son of Yah. Why don't you get yourself down?" People were stunned at how he was disfigured up on the cross. Okay? Now I'm agreeing with Elder, but we gotta see if both of us are telling the truth now. "So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouth at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider." People were passing by considering. What were they passing by seeing? Go to the next chapter now. We'll see what they were saying. "Who hath believed our report? And whom is the arm of Yah revealed?" What did the scripture say concerning him? Go back up. It said, verse 10, Isaiah 52, verse 10, said, "Yah hath made bare his holy arm." How did he make it bare? Well, the next chapter tells us. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Yah revealed?" Who did he show it to? Who did Yah make his arm bare to? "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, because it's describing the cross, not his physical appearance before he goes to the cross, because we understand he had to be the sacrificial lamb without blemish, without any defect. So he couldn't have been hunchback, because he's the high priest, and the high priest or everybody that's a part of the priesthood can't have any physical defect. So you have the lamb that can't have any physical defects, and you have the priest who will present the lamb couldn't have any physical defects. So this is talking about the cross. He is, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. They were stunned. The nation was stunned. The people who saw him on that cross were stunned. They were so stunned to the point to where they couldn't look. Have you ever seen a bad car accident or something like that, and you couldn't look? You were stunned for what you were seeing to the point to where you couldn't look? I can't look at stuff like that. You get some people, they can just watch wrecks and see body parts laying all over the road. I feel it. So they were stunned looking at him. He was beaten before he was put on the cross. That's why he was disfigured. They beat him. With his stripes we are healed, as we're going to read. They actually beat him. Okay? He is despised, verse 3, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. So he wasn't grieved because he was ugly. He bore the grief. So everything that he was, all of his disfigurement, was something that he bore for us. He wasn't born ugly. He became ugly because of what we had done. He was disfigured because of what we had done. It's not that he was born that way. He was made that way. So he bore everything that we were. We were ugly. We were sinners. We were all these things that was going on with us. We had physical defect. All these things. We were hunchback. You name it. We had all these defects, whether spiritually or physically. And Christ came that we might be restored to our Father. First of all, from a perspective of the spiritual, and then he was healing us too, physically. He laid hands on the sick and they recovered. There were some who were lame. There were some who had diseases. They had leprosy. They had all these different things. So he came in order to restore us to wholeness, both of us. Physical and spiritual. That's what this is talking about. This is talking about the Christ, the cross. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yah. That's what we considered from looking at him, man. Look at him, man. Yah punishing him. Talking about representing God. He's the Son of God. Now look at him up there. Come on, get yourself down if you're the Son of Yah. Smitten of Yah and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. So his defect wasn't because of him. It was based upon what was going on with us. So if he did end up on the cross and had a hunchback, it wasn't that he started out that way. He became that for us. I'm not saying that he was. I'm just debunking the lie. Okay? He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was disfigured for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, because he was whipped, we are healed. He went through all of that being disfigured so that we could now be healed. With his stripes, we are healed. Look at the word healed here. The word healed means to mend, to cure, make whole. That's the one I was looking for. So now, we all, through Christ, having our blemishes, our own faults, our shortcomings, our defects. The scripture said, because of what he's done for us, we now all can be made whole. Yah, through Christ, has healed me physically. I've had some physical things going on with my body, and Yah healed me. My daughter, you know, how she was in the hospital, pretty much all through her, in and out of the hospital, pretty much all through her high school period from ninth grade all the way through the 12th, you know, told she'd never have kids and all that kind of stuff, said she'd have that dermatomyositis, which is a rare illness that affects the autoimmune system, said that she'd never have kids, she'd never be healed of it, none of those things. She used to swallow food and it'd come out of her nose. Swallow it, go down her throat, come out of her nose. System was all messed up. They said she always have to get treated. Yah healed her. Yah can heal us physically as well as spiritually. So Christ paid the price so that we can be made whole. Whichever way y'all want to do it. And so it's vitally important for us to understand these things. Christ was not an ugly, short man, because the scripture points out that no priest could go before Yah being a dwarf. Okay? So all of these things that they say concerning our Savior, physical appearance, is a lie. But these are the type of lies that people will take on and believe in, because they don't take, you know, it amazes me how many people spend all their time in other books trying to prove the truth instead of just going to the book to prove the truth. I don't care if Josephus lived during the time of Christ. He just doesn't, what he describes concerning Christ just doesn't line up with the scriptures. You describe his physical appearance, there's everything that you cannot be in order to be in the position that Christ was in. You can't be a lamb with blemishes, and you can't be a high priest with a hunchback. So I don't know why they told him to lie. I don't know why, if he did write it, I don't know why. But it ain't lined up with, it's not lined up with scripture. So I got to throw his belief and his descriptions his description of Christ, I got to throw it out the window, because none of it lines up with the scripture, with the scriptures based upon how the physical appearance of a lamb and a priest has to be. But it takes Yah revealing these things, from us putting ourselves in position to sit down and study so that he can do so. Okay. And so this indeed is the cross, is a depiction of the cross. And so we're going to use just a cross reference. We're just going to use our technology to do it here. With his stripes, we are healed. I'm just trying to. I'm just going to go to Matthew chapter 8, verse, and we'll close here. I just want to show you in the New Testament that it is describing him. Matthew 8, verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet. Let's go back up. And Yehoshua, I started verse 13, Matthew 8, verse 13. And Yehoshua said unto the centurion, go thy way. I got to go up. Verse 5. And when Yehoshua was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. When you look at the palsy, verse 6, when you look at the palsy, it means he's a paralytic. He's paralyzed. So it says he was sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Yehoshua said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof. But speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. A man on authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Yehoshua heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Okay, he was a centurion, he wasn't an Israelite. He said, this man's faith is greater than even the men of Israel, the children of Israel. Verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Let you know that the Gentiles are going to be called into the kingdom also. So you got Israelites who think we're the only ones that's going to be that's going to enter the kingdom. They lying. That's false doctrine. But then verse 12 says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in the outer darkness. You got Israelites, you're not going to make it. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Yehoshua said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Verse 14, and when Yehoshua was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And when he touched her hand, and the fever left her, the sickness. And she arose and ministered unto him. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Look at our sickness. Here's where he says it. Then you know it's the same thing. Isaiah 7, Matthew 8, verse 17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities. Look, he was wounded for our transgression, Isaiah 53 and 5. He was bruised for our infirmities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Confirming verse 17. So Isaiah 53 is not talking about the physical defects of Christ. It's talking about the physical defects that he took in order for us to be healed. So Christ was not a hunchback, dwarf-like man that was people were afraid to look at. Josephus lied. Okay? Any questions, comments? If not, I'm going to stop here. You had anything else? Okay. Now we know the truth, and the truth set us free. So anytime you hear somebody from now on saying, Jesus was a little short man, some of them even describe him, say he was kind of a little bald-headed, with a beard that wasn't completely filled in, and he had a hunchback, and he was short. He was ugly. You look at him, you run from him. He was so ugly. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, they lying. This Isaiah 52 and 53 describes the cross, just like Elder pointed out. Okay? Father Yahweh, we bless your name. We just thank you for giving us the wisdom and understanding, and you're breathing upon us by your spirit so that we can see the truth and we can know it, and the truth can make us free. We bless you for that, and we just thank you as you continue to bless us with knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And we give you glory. We thank you for the Son who paid the price, the ultimate price, so that we can stand here seeing the things that we see, even concerning him. In his wonderful name we do pray. Amen.